Call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. Anybody who has any handheld devices, BDAs, or anything that might ring during the meeting, please put them on silent now. It's not to disrupt the meeting. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice to see a large attendance this morning. Any 49er fans in the audience? Condolences. It might have been a bad year to schedule the Super Bowl at home at their home stadium. Moving along now to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action to approve the agenda for this date, October the 6th, 2015. Anybody have any comments on today's agenda?
We have a couple, Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Osborne makes his way up on some of the Planning Commission items. Staff asks that we delete item number 8 from the consent agenda, rescheduling the meeting is no longer necessary. The courtroom has freed up and is available for our regular scheduled date. And also, I have a request that we move item number 20 up, requested by Don Gilman, up to just after item number 16 and before item number 17, and whatever Austin needs as well.
Very good.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm asking today that we continue items number 16 and that item to be continued to the 11:02:15 meeting. That we continue item number 22 to the 10:19:15 meeting and continue number 23 to the 10:19:15 meeting. I also want to make a note on item number 23, there will be an addendum that will come with that, and 1792 is a chapter of Title 17. Somehow did not get into the packet. There's not very minor changes in that, but nevertheless, it needs to be included. It will be included at that continued time.
And please note that the continuation dates on the last two Austin mentioned will now be October 20th, not October 19th, since we're meeting on the regular date.
Okay. Thank you. Questions are noted. Does anybody else have anything concerning today's agenda? Mr. Phillips?
Is it the 19th or continue to?
It should be the 20th now. It will be on Tuesday because the courtroom is freed up on that date. Mr. Phillips, go ahead.
Thank you. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. This is the 6th of October, 2015. Item number 3, approval of today's agenda. This is discussion before the approval. Commissioners, I'd like you to consider, in regards to agenda item number 14, I noticed that it was pretty vague. I went to the sheriff's office last week and found out that the liquor license for the Bonanza and the Delta should be separated. They're two separate licenses. So yesterday I filed with the county clerk a short letter. County Liquor Board, Marshall McBride, Chairman of the Board, Gerald Antonoro, County Sheriff. I'm here, Story County Liquor and License Board, please amend the agenda to read as follows. Recess to convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, and then split 14 into 14A and 14B. 14A, approve the general license and regular liquor license for the Delta Saloon, 18 South C Street, Virginia City, Dr. Vincent Malfitano, applicant. 14B, approve general license and regular liquor license for the Bonanza Saloon, 27 North C Street, Virginia City, Dr. Vincent Malfitano, applicant, and then adjourn to reconvene as Story County Board of County Commissioners. I'm hoping that this clerical error can be amended before it becomes public record. We went through this last meeting, and I would appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I respectfully agree with Mr. Phillips in one case and disagree in another. I believe Mr. Morris will explain that something about a belt and suspenders approach that we could certainly do what Mr. Phillips has suggested in terms of recessing to convene as the liquor board, but that our notice, our bold member notice up front at the head of the agenda serves as well to denote that this board of commissioners also serve as the liquor and gaming board amongst other boards. However, I would recommend that we concur with his 14A, 14B approach in that we hear the liquor licenses combined for the Bonanza and the Delta as 14A. And then for 14B, since the sheriff is not a voting member of the general license board, that we hear 14B separately as general licenses for those two. And if Mr. Morrison wants to provide anything further.
I believe Mr. Whitten has stated what I believe is that there's sufficient notice that the liquor board is going to take action because of the initial paragraph in the agenda. As always, I like to make sure that it's very clear, and I generally ask that the board recess and then adjourn when they finish a certain item. But I think the notice on the agenda is sufficient for it to go ahead with the item today.
Very good. Does anyone else have any comments on today's agenda? Any other changes to be made? And at this time, commissioners, looking for approval of today's agenda with the corrections of being removing items number 8, which is canceled, continuing item 16 until November the 2nd, continuing items 22 and 23 to October the 20th here in this room at 10 a.m., and going ahead and breaking item 14 into 14A to approve a liquor license and 14B for the approval of the general license.
Is items 22 and 23, is that continue on 10-19 or 10-20?
It'll be 10-20 because we've canceled the meeting on the 19th because this room was going to be occupied on the 20th for district court, and now it won't be, so that date is open. So
I'd move to approve the agenda for October the 6th, 2015, with those changes that you suggested.
I'll second that motion.
Yes, and we're moving 20 up after item 15 and before item 17.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, thank you. And that was also, moving item number 20 after item 16 and before item 17.
I approve the agenda with that change.
I'll second that motion.
Then moved and second to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Very good. Now we're going to move along to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action to the approval of the minutes for August the 18th, 2015.
Mr. Chairman, the reason that this is on the agenda today is that you had already approved the August 18 minutes. However, Commissioner Gilman also approved the minutes, and he was not there on the 18th. So with that in mind, it would be Commissioner McGuffey and yourself that would be reapproving the minutes.
Very good. Is there any other discussion on this item?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We also have one small typo in the roll call. The last employee listed, our fire inspector, Fritz's last name is actually Klingler, K-L-I-N-G-L-E-R. I think we've got him a little mixed up with Joe Gibbons.
Okay. All right. First correction is made. Commissioner McGuffey, I get a motion to approve the minutes of August 18th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for August 18th, 2015, with the spelling correction.
All right. And I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for August 18th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Move along now to Item number 5, this is discussion of possible action, approval of minutes for September the 1st of 2015. Does anybody have any discussions on these minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes of September the 1st, 2015.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve the minutes for September the 1st, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Keeping in mind that we've removed item number 8. Does anybody have any questions regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, can we get a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Okay. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. Here's your committee and staff reports. Why don't we start with Mark Twain Community Center, Ron Engelbrecht. I see you in the audience there.
Story County resident. Thank you.
Good morning.
The Mark Twain Community Center, I think, has had a reasonably successful year so far. This next November, we are planning to have an arts and crafts fair again. It was very successful last year, and we expect the same results this year. And then December, with the guidance, support, and appetite of the Sheriff's Department, we'll have our annual spaghetti feed, which is great. And then there were some issues with our Veterans Memorial, but it came down to the wire. Everything worked satisfactorily. Concrete was poured yesterday. The concrete block is being donated by Basalite, so we will have that construction done in the next week or two. And then we will have a dedication ceremonies, probably Veterans Day, coming up in November. So we'll invite everybody to be there. And we have contacted the local Vietnam vets and the Ghost Riders and the American Legion. So we'll have hopefully a good showing, a great presentation, and we'll serve a little lunch. But that's it. Any questions?
Anything? Great. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, and thank you for your support.
That's it. Okay. Representing Community Chest in the library. Sean Griffith, anything today for us?
Good morning. Sean Griffith, Community Chest. So I'm thrilled to announce that on October 28th, we'll be reopening our health center. It'll be staffed by a physician's assistant, and they are employees of Nevada Health Centers. So I'd like to invite all of you to the grand opening on October 28th from 1 to 4. They will be working from 8:30 to 4 every Wednesday. I have this in writing for you. A week from that following Thursday, there will be a similar opening in Lockwood that will be staffed by an RN who will be primarily focused on senior outreach. And so on November 5th in Lockwood, we will also have the beginning of health services there, primarily for senior outreach. This has taken a long time to negotiate, put forward, and get completed, but I'm thrilled. Nevada Health Centers is the largest FQHC in the state. They run 17 publicly funded health centers, and they're very excited. I spent a great deal of time working with their administration and their physician's assistant to get very clear on what we needed. And we will have that with the physician's assistant up here. So if a person comes in and they have a specific illness, they can be treated there. There's a possibility they'll be able to provide pharmaceutical services too. We've signed a 2-year contract with them, and we hope to continue to provide services in these two locales beginning very shortly. So please join us on the 28th for that if you're able. I know you have a problem with 3 of you getting together at the same time, so you can come up on 2 and 3. I have information on that for you. Also, on November 21st at Piper's, we're going to have Heidi Duro, the author of The Girl Who Fell from the Sky, come do an author presentation. It was an award-winning book, a memoir, and Barrick's going to underwrite her presentation. I really appreciate if we can get a large turnout for that as well. Tickets are available on our website. Again, that's November 21st, 4 to 6. You'll see more press about it. And then finally, we're making incredible progress on the community center, the second phase. I reached out to six foundations. All of them were taking this request to their boards to bring a written commitment back to us by November. And once we receive those written commitments, we will go back to a major foundation who has said they may step up with a lead gift if I can get those six commitments. So that's what I'm in the process of doing now. I'll be more able to tell you who and what amounts as soon as it's clear to me, but I'm thrilled that we seem to have turned this corner and there's some real possibility for building in the near future. We're almost done with the plans, I think that things are going to happen real quickly. So that's some good news for Tuesday morning. Any questions? And I have information on the two health center openings. Please stop by in either place and let us know that you're interested. Anything else?
I think so. Questions? No? Great. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Out of our planning department, Jason Panava.
Good morning. Jason Van Havel, planning department. Based on a recent sign variance case that came in front of the board and a couple of other ongoing sign issues around the county, it's become apparent that some further updating is needing for the sign zoning, Chapter 1784. And I formed a group where we're looking at that chapter of our zoning and evaluating some of the implications of it, looking at some of the ongoing issues. The group that I've brought together has representation from the Comstock Historic District, a couple of local business owners. We've met twice. We've initiated some conversations, identified some potential updates. I'm going to convene the group again and come up with another iteration of some potential updates, at which point I'll start initiating a public conversation on the topic and on the implications of updating the sign zoning on the county. So I just wanted to give you an update on that information.
Very good. Any questions for Jason?
Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Out of human resources, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I talk about things both on the planning and HR side of the county. I'll start with the Black and Hell Plaza. We all saw in the newspaper at the corner of C and Taylor. We are doing an interim project there that will essentially be phase one of a Black and Hell building reconstruction at that property. And working with Paul Ferrari and his team, they're going through the engineering right now, essentially building a steel structure in that foundation on which a platform will be constructed and be used as a pocket plaza in the interim, probably the interim being 5 to 10 year period. There are renditions of it available. Anybody can go and talk with me or even look at the newspaper to see those. Essentially, it'll be a deck. It'll have a shade structure, some benches, and a few kiosks around showing the history of what you're looking at in the view shed and as well as the building itself. Second project being next door, the courthouse parking lot project is still moving along. The building department right now is doing
water and electrical review of the plans. Those should be done today. I'm working with the engineers team on getting the RFP structured, and we'll have that sent out very likely this week, and we'll go out for bid. There will be a mandatory contractor meeting for anybody that wants to bid on the project to come to the property and get a chance to see it in person and talk about some of the challenges and the structural components of putting that project together before bids are accepted. Comstock Mining, as you know, at this point is going to donate, or not donate, but very drastically cut the cost of riprap material that would be used for stabilization of the slopes of the parking lot. Most of that material is going to come out of the Harris Portal, and it's ideal type of rock for keying in on slopes and stabilizing slopes. So they'll be bringing that up. We'll be working with Public Works to transport that material up and working with a contractor of bid next door to get that in place. State Route 342, as you know, is closed at the moment from September 29th through approximately November 12th. It's possible the project would be done to get that second phase of the highway completed before the 12th, but the 12th of November is the target date for that, and it's very unlikely that it'll be any later than that. I've been in communication with NDOT, the Army Corps of Engineers, Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, all the other agencies involved, and that project is moving fine. The permitting is moving along fine, and that road should be open permanently, momentarily. The master plan process, we've been going through 3 years. At this point, Jason and I have been working on various chapters of that. At this point, anybody can go on the website and look at housing, transportation, land use, and population. Those chapters are very substantially completed in getting to the point of Planning Commission starting to make final direction on where we go with those. The Largo Mesino area plan that we've referred to as the large area north of the Highlands and south of Lockwood is complete, and that is on the website also for anybody to review. And it talks about that area being, as far as transportation, housing, and industry, and all other types of land uses, that area is completed as far as a draft. There are other elements of the master plan that are not necessarily as difficult as these policy-directed chapters, such as your land, your Bureau of Land Management interface and your natural resources and some of the others. I have posted for a temporary, less than part-time planner one. I want this person ideally to be somebody from Story County, somebody that does not necessarily have the letters behind his or her name or necessarily have the exact planning education necessary, more of somebody who can write, somebody who can do data analysis, and somebody who understands the areas of our county, who wants to participate in the master plan process and help get these other chapters written, as well as help with the chapters that are written already. That posting closes today at 5 o'clock. I encourage anybody in this room or out in the public who wants to just be part of something and be involved in the master plan to apply for this. Again, it's a temporary job. When the master plan's done, the position's done. It's no benefits or anything like that. It's just a chance to be a paid position to be involved in this really exciting project. March of 2016 is the anticipated target date for the master plan to be through the Planning Commission process. And then we'd start preparing it for this board and adoption. The Bureau of Land Management and I are continuing to meet with Congress Amaday's staff, as well as with our Congressman, our former Congressman Porter and his team, on the land conveyance between the Bureau of Land Management and Story County. We're still working on the language. Porter's team, as well as the Bureau of Land Management, Carson City office, is working on bill draft language for the next congressional session to help clarify a couple needs in the public law that was approved. But nevertheless, we are still working together on just working through the federal bureaucracy to get the conveyance completed and moved over. There's a lot of gears and a lot of moving parts. It's going to take a substantial amount of time for us to complete this, but it is inching moving forward and is moving in the right direction. And last but not least, on the internal side, it's that time of year again where we start to look at our health benefits plans for our employees and where they are and where they're going and what type of experience rating we're seeing over the last year period. And this will be in preparation for annual open enrollment for health benefits, which was in May of 2016. Nevertheless, it's important now that we start looking at where our trends are going now, and there's some concerns, and there's some good things that we're looking at, and these things will ultimately determine what our rates will be for next year and what type of insurance program we'll have next year. I am working with our employees to put a committee together like I do every year, and that committee will help steer the direction on where we go with benefits and what types of things we look at. These are the things I have. Thank you.
Any questions, Ross?
The document you sent out on the Largo Messina zoning,
yes.
I understand it's a draft, but there's a couple of spots where a number for an acreage was just a couple zeros.
Yes.
You had a date that was zero, so I just wonder if that's AD, you know, AD or BC. You know.
I can put that. At this point, the entire master plan is draft. There are a lot of places where a date I need to research to actually validate that a date is correct. And then you'll also notice the figure 00. Well, once that plan is completed and we assign numbers and Roman numerals to all those sections and subsections, then you'll start seeing numbers pop up in all of those empty spaces. But for right now, yeah, I know there will be a date there, and to make sure it's 1942, I need to validate that before I write the date. So I just put 0000.
I was going to say you might invite any written comments as people read these new sections to be sent to you so you could incorporate anything that's necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Morris, and I agree 100%. I've been very clear in the master plan workshops that we've had in all of our communities that I very much encourage anybody to either come to the meetings or submit a simple email to me, make a phone call or a formal letter in response to what they see on the website as far as the drafts, what they hear in the community, or even what someone sees out their backyard door. Any comments are very important. They become part of the record supporting the contents of the master plan, and they'll be part of the permanent record for that, and I very much encourage it. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
All right. Fire Protection District, Chief Haynes.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm here this morning, gallbladder free, I'm happy to tell you. If you don't know, I was out the 2 weeks. I know the board does, Pat does. But before I get into my presentation, I just want to sincerely thank my staff. It's a great staff. I was gone 2 weeks, never missed anything. Everything got done on timelines. So the battalion chiefs, Battalion Chief Atkins, Dufresne, and Nevin did phenomenal work while I was in my absence. Fritz Klingler, our fire prevention officer, was able to work towards an end product of issuing a temporary C of O in cooperation with Tesla and the billing department last Thursday. That's a huge milestone, and I just want to thank Fritz and all the battalion chiefs and all my staff for taking care of business while I was gone for a couple weeks. So with that said, I'd like to talk a little bit about fuels management. You know that we've received the two grants. One is a two-year-old grant that expires in May. That's particularly involves the Highlands. We'll be starting that, and we're transitioning our fire seasonals over to fuels crews. Our excavator with the mastication head will be 100% done and delivered Thursday. So hopefully next week we'll start out in the Highlands. We're probably going to start out in the 40-acre areas just to kind of see how that machinery works, see how far it throws stuff so we're not breaking windows in houses or cars because people really don't like that much. And then we'll be working the Highlands, working our way back towards Six Mile Canyon. Yeah, that's the plan so far with fuels. We'll be working somewhat in the top of, lack of a better term, Bailey's Canyon as well. It's that area as you're driving up Geiger Grade off to the south side where you see little pockets of dead and dying trees. Our crews will be in there after the first hard freeze and fallen trees and trying to pack them out or burning on site. So we're also on the 1 acre and 10 acre boards. Agendas this month to go out and give a presentation on what it is exactly we're going to be doing. We'll have one of our fuels foremen talking to residents door-to-door talks like we've always tried to do. So if it directly impacts the resident, we'll work with them to do as much as they'll let us do. If it impacts residents with view sheds, we'll be also talking to them as well. So that's kind of the fuels project portion. Fire Station 75 at the McCarran Complex is fully staffed now. So we have two people on an engine, two people on an ambulance, and it's like the floodgates have opened. I don't know what happened out there, but our call volume since we've been staffing has literally quadrupled out there. I'm not sure how to explain that, except they know we're there, so they're using us now, where they may have been potentially putting people in vehicles and taking them to hospitals. That's the only thing I can figure out. So, and that's going really well. Public Works helped us out with putting in an additional dorm room on our side of that McCarran complex, so thank Public Works for that work. We're also working with RIMSA now that we're staffed out there to respond. We always have responded automatic and mutual aid with them, but we're working with some issues with critical care patients so that we're not waiting for RIMSA, i.e. mostly on I-80 corridor. If we get there and it's a traumatic injury, we won't be waiting for RIMSA. They're good with that. We'll be signing some interlocal agreements with them stating that as well, because they're the franchise holders for Washoe County. We're the franchise holders for Story. So, but I think that's really important that RIMSA has been incredibly easy to work with. That isn't necessarily always been the case in the last 20 years, but it's all about patient care. So I appreciate RIMSA's efforts, and I think it'll be a much better response system out there. Open burning press release was issued this week. Just a reminder, there is no open burning allowed in the Highlands, and that was done at the wishes of the 1 acre and 10 acre associations. So primarily that's in Mark Twain, Painted Rock, some of the outlying areas, but there is no open burning in the Highlands. So I think it says that in the press release, but it's kind of hidden in there maybe. The aerial platform for Station 75 was delivered on the 30th of last week. It's in Las Vegas at Fire Trucks Unlimited. The first opportunity that we have is the 12th. We're going to fly down, do the pre-refurbishing meeting with them. We're hopeful that within, they're saying 60 days, I'm saying probably 90 days, we'll have that. So hopefully by the first of the year, that 100-foot aerial platform will be in service. All of our staff will be fully trained and operational by the first of the year is our goal. The CDBG grant for the fourth ambulance is going through, and Sherry's kind of pushing that effort. But the cabin chassis was ordered, and I don't know why it seems like every time we order a cabin chassis, it's right at the wrong time of year. So, of course, that was the case this year. That won't be there until probably the first of the year. We'll ship the ambulance down. Probably by March we'll have that fourth ambulance back. And that is it, unless you have any questions for me.
I'd be curious what kind of the call volumes are up there on 78. What's the nature of the calls? Is there any particular section or segment?
Mostly medical emergencies.
Medical calls?
And not traumatic injuries, but diabetic emergencies, chest pain, difficulty breathing calls are all on the rise out there. And I think those are all incidents that, honestly, they probably had been transporting them via private vehicles because they knew of the long response times. Now that they know we're there, they're calling us for everything.
Is it in a particular area?
No. It's interesting. I tried to do that analysis as well to see if it was one company or if it was one area. It really isn't. It's widespread amongst most of the companies in that area, within the McCarran area, Trick area. Interesting, though. I've been tracking that, too, because I'm curious why that call volume's gone up so much.
I wonder if because of major allergy season, I've been struggling with that myself out there, I would have called you and said, hey, I need some oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah, they bring needles and stuff. That's why.
Maybe it's the pollen in the air or something.
It very well could be. But there's a few diabetic patients out there that that we've been going to multiple times, and that's been a lot of it. Any other questions for me? If not, I will get out of here.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Over to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. In your next meeting, we're going to schedule the budget to actual process for all of our departments for the first quarter of the fiscal year into 2016. As a sidelight to this, last week there was a County Fiscal Officers Association conference, which included clerk treasurers, county recorders, finance directors, and comptrollers for all the counties within Nevada. They had a breakout session where all the finance managers and finance people and comptrollers went to, and I got a chance to speak a little bit about that. And I mentioned the budget process that we go through, and the consensus was they were simply aghast at the amount of consideration that the commission gives and the county gives towards the budget process. Washoe County couldn't believe it. Clark County couldn't believe it. In fact, the gentleman from Churchill County, who is a member of the local government finance committee for the Department of Taxation, said it was absolutely unheard of. So it's a congratulations to all of our department heads, to our commission members for this process. And the end result is is what happens on the financial reports, that they're accurate. We pay a lot of attention to the things that we need to spend money for. But in the budget process, it's also what's working well and some of those things that we may have to make adjustments to in the future. So from that point, I thought everybody was simply amazed at the process that we go through and the progress that we have made through this process.
Any questions?
Changing course here a little bit. Is there any progress on the VAT audit?
Yeah. I was going to give it to our outside auditors. They don't have the time to do that. I was going to give it to another firm in Reno. They don't have the time to do that. I think it's about time we step up to the plate and do it ourselves, I think. I think we're going to do this internally. We are through our documentation session as far as the audit, our audit period here is concerned. So I'm going to direct Jennifer McCain and myself. We'll handle this probably in about it'll only take us about 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure, but we'll get that thing done for sure.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Sheriff Antonaro. District Attorney Langer.
I just wanted to make everybody aware that the Hoover estate, the Hoover property has been cleaned up, and that we are going to have a live auction of the valuables that were found on the property. And at the present time, the live auction is going to be scheduled at the Hoover House on October 24th. There will be this will have publications, so everybody will have knowledge of it. But a lot of the valuables that were found were things that really belonged to the Comstock, and the decision was made that, you know, hopefully a lot of them will stay here through having the private auction at the house. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Is that the big wooden building?
It is.
On the hill of Washington?
On Washington.
Okay. I saw a crew in there with the metal scrappers and everybody in there.
Yeah. Right. So, yes, it was a five-day process, a lot coming out of that house. But we're finally moving forward, and October 24th, I'll have the time and date, and that will be in the newspaper. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Special Counsel Morse?
Nothing today, thank you.
County Manager Whitten?
Several items. I always try to recognize folks in the audience. And in addition to former Commissioner Sylvangan, we have a surprise guest appearance today from the developer of TRI. Don Roger Norman is here. Mr. Norman, always good to see you join us. So thank you. A couple of other things have come up. Commissioner McBride mentioned that a few meetings ago, I believe, we initially began the process of dealing with supporting a a Cape seal on the private-owned portions of Cartwright Road owned by the two HOAs out there. Both HOAs have sent the requisite letter asking for our support and help. It was scheduled to be on agenda for today. Quite frankly, the legal department has found an approach that will allow us to do this. What we're waiting for now is for the next paving season to come. So you'll probably see this on long-term hold until we begin to get into the May zone. Whenever Mike says that these guys are ready to go, we have the money available, we'll send it to you for approval. So, okay? I'll defer to Commissioner McGuffey and Chairman McBride on those participating in NACO down in Las Vegas last week. Sean, you may rest assured our clerk's office is all over the 28th and the 5th dates, and they'll post notices of possible quorum. Thank you for the advance notice so you guys can come at 1, stay till 4, have yourself checked out, do all that stuff. Parking lot, again, I want to, since Chief Hames is here, and I wish Mike was too. The work that's been done, and I credit Austin with this because he's driving the bus, the work that's been done has been probably the best collaboration of county resources to date. The excavator actually came in ahead of the masticator. They're all one and the same. They're just interchangeable components. Gary, through Mike Rector and the seasonal program, and a gentleman by the name of Don, I can never remember Don's last name, those guys worked tirelessly, and then Mike's crew kicked it into gear to move. I can't tell you how many tons of dirt went out of here, but again, really, our county expense to date is some staff time for some of the seasonal guys, and some fuel. And that's about it so far. So Austin has done a phenomenal job twisting a few arms with Comstock Mining to get some riprap, at a discount price helps. So that parking lot's going to come in well under budget by the time it's done, and I applaud everybody's efforts on bringing this together. And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Pat? Hearing none? Clerk's office have anything?
No.
Nothing? Okay. That concludes item number 11. We'll move on now to item number 12. These are board comments. Vice Chairman Gilman?
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. A little over a week ago now, EDON had a luncheon to give out awards, and one of our key employees here, the seed team member, was awarded. Dean Haymore was awarded with the EDON pin. It's a new thing that they came up with a couple months ago. It's a pin, it's a colorful pin, about an inch and a half tall, inch wide, with the scenic Nevada scenery on it. Only one other pin was ever awarded. The first and only was awarded to our governor, Sandoval, a couple months ago. So this is kind of the first round of awards that EDON will be performing once a month. They give only 4 pins out a year. So I'd like to congratulate Dean Haymore. He was recognized for all his effort in helping these companies move to the industrial park out of Cry. He's been very instrumental in holding their hand, telling, showing them what they got to do next, actually filling, getting the paperwork in front of them, giving them their grading permits before they have their business license. He's a go-getter. He's really helping these companies move fast. And that's what's making the Tri so appetizing. Our county is doing that to help them get going. Second was, of course, I was, had met our USDA's Undersecretary, Lisa Minshaw, when she made her appearance. Chairman McBride will sound out on that. The NACO convention last week was pretty good. Of course, we had our workshops, mandatory workshops for the commissioners. I've completed my mandatory workshops, and plus I've also taken other courses towards becoming a certified public officer. So That was very successful. We had some great speakers, very entertaining. I guess if we had any rec time that was in the evening, and I took a free bus tour, and it turned out that the tour guide on the bus was, what's his name?
Mark Hall.
Mark Hall. I don't know if many of you have seen the show Pawn Stars. He's the guy in the red shirt, big hat. He runs the state historic museum. He's very entertaining, very personable, and I've invited him up here, hopefully in April, if we can afford him, because he has to charge $1,500. So that's in the works. So I'm going to kind of twist his arm a little bit more. So, then lastly was the Comstock Mine Portal dedication to Randy Harris, the former past safety engineer there at the mine, been there for many, many years. His wife and daughter were there to cut the ribbon to open the portal. And on the way in, I was able to see the riffraff rock that they're going to put here in the parking lot. It's a nice gray, light gray colored stone. It'll look nice. The portal is, of course, at the bottom of Lucerne. Lucerne pit is about 260 feet deep. At that time when we had the dedication, it was about 200 feet deep in. They're going about 10 feet a day. I think in the newspaper they said they're about 300, so they're making progress on that. They also just had a tidbit of information, because many of you haven't been down there for the tour. They did build some giant steel doors covered with heavy added like pillows of canvas pillows, and so they close that up when they do blasting to minimize any noise and dust. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, my apologies. I was going to have you wrap it up, and I was going to go next, but I'm a little ahead of myself here. For those of you who have noticed, in one of the news releases that was put out here a couple weeks ago, as Commissioner McGuffey alluded to, that we had a visit from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Lisa Mensa. She was touring the industrial park to see where some of the properties that they've given loan guarantees to, such as Aqua Metals and Fulcrum, also another company called Dynamic Isolation Systems. So as everybody knows, I think it was in March, we had the grand opening of our new wastewater treatment plant on Six Mile Canyon. It was a $5 million project. These projects are done in cooperation with the USDA Rural Development. And how it works is they give us some grant money, and then they loan us some money for long periods of time at very low interest rates. So the wastewater treatment plant was a $5 million project. And after the project is complete, they like to send someone from Washington out here to review the property and see everything was done to specifications. So we had our engineers there far west and our public works department and our water professionals there. And so while Kent Evans was here from Washington, he toured the facility along with our Carson City delegation, headed up by Susan Adler and Cheryl Couch and Lisa Goodfellow. And we gave him a little tour of the water line coming in from Marlette Lake. So along these lines, the county with the engineers have been working on replacing the wastewater lines throughout Virginia City and Gold Hill. And they've been working on this for, I think, 7 or 8 years. And they have it all planned out. Everything was planned out about except where to get the money. And what happened was that after Ken Evans was here, he was so impressed on how everything had gone so smooth with the treatment plant, he said that we should go ahead and, through his staff, submit our plans for how we wanted to replace the system in Virginia City and Gold Hill. With that said, an application was placed with the USDA, and I believe this was in August the 20th, and within 30 days, we got notification from the USDA that they were very interested in this and how we had planned on doing this over 5 or 6 phases over the course of many years, as it's going to be a very expensive project. They suggested that we go ahead and ask for full funding, doing it in one phase, because we would save immense amounts of money by only having one setup and one teardown instead of every time having to ramp up for every project. So the Carson City office, and with Cheryl Coucha leading that up, they sent in the application asking for full funding, and amazingly, it was granted. And the USDA Rural Development has awarded Story County a grant of almost $9 million and a low-interest, long-term loan of just over $4 million. So we can complete this project as soon as it goes to bid and we award the bid. So this is one of those deals in the past where we complain about unfunded mandates, because we are mandated by the EPA to come into compliance for clean drinking water and clean wastewater. And here is our opportunity, with the assistance of the federal government, that they're gonna give us the majority of the money we need to complete this project. They also help fund our fire engines and our ambulance retrofits. So what this is a sign of good government. And I know we all complain about the feds at times, but this is one time where this really turns around and is a great benefit to this community and to the county. Sarah Adler, she heads the Carson office. Cheryl Couch did the application. Lisa Goodfellow, Barbara Allen, these guys are just a great bunch of people to work with, and they went out of their way. They love the Comstock so much that they actually went out of their way, dedicated 100% of their time to make sure that this was put in on time and it was approved. And so we couldn't be more proud of where we are today with this. So once again, our hats go off to the United States Department of Agriculture. And one good thing, too, is the undersecretary is an Oregon girl, so she's from the West. And so it always helps to have people who are in government who are familiar with your part of the country. So, and that's all. That's all I have on that. And I did join Commissioner McGuffey in North Las Vegas last week for the Nevada NACO conference, which we're so far out of town, it wasn't like you could go pal around on the strip at night, because it was an $80 cab ride just to get from the airport. So that being done, that concludes public comment for the board here. We'll move on now to item number 13, and this is discussion of possible action. We're going to seek to approve the second reading of a liquor and general business license for the Story County School District for Piper's Opera House. And Sheriff, since you sit on the liquor board, if you'd join us.
And staff recommends that we follow the consistent approach and take agenda item 13 and have 13A be considered for your liquor license, since the sheriff sits on that board, and 13B be considered your general license, since the sheriff is not on the general license board.
Okay. Sheriff Antonoro.
We've completed the investigation on the school board's liquor license. There's no reason why they should be precluded from having one, and would recommend that they be approved.
Okay. Any comments from the board? Take public comment at this time. Does anybody have any public comment on this license for Piper's Opera House? Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City. I just wanted to make sure that it was the school board of trustees that made this application.
It was.
Okay.
It's the superintendent as basically an executive director. He's the main individual on there, but it is the school board that made the application.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion on this item?
This isn't related to the corner bar, is it?
No, that's they're a lessee. Yeah. This would be primarily for upstairs events.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve the liquor license for Piper's Opera House.
I'll move to approve the second reading of the liquor license in general, or liquor license for the Story County School District for Piper's Opera House.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Unanimous. Okay, moving along now to item B on this, 13B. This would be on the general license, which I assume would be for selling souvenirs or logoed items for the...
Conducting events.
Conducting events, yeah, okay. Commissioners, any discussion on this? Anyone in the audience have any questions regarding this license? We got a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the second reading for the general business license, Story County School District for Piper's Opera House.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the general business license for Piper's Opera House. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries. All right. Moving along now to item number 14. This is discussion of possible action. Approve liquor and general business licenses for the Bonanza and the Delta. We'll handle this like the last item. We're going to handle 14A as liquor and 14B as general. At this time, I'll make a disclosure that I am in business on C Street and hold a liquor license. I do not have any pecuniary interest in either the Delta or Bonanza saloons.
And I've also disclosed that I operate a business on C Street. I have no pecuniary interest in the Delta Saloon or the Bonanza.
Okay. Madam DA?
Good morning. I think initially when looking for the application, and we're starting out with the Delta and the Bonanza on the liquor licenses, it came to my attention through numerous phone calls and discussions that NRS 369.190 would apply to the liquor license regarding both establishments. And under that statute, it talks about when you apply for a liquor license that your moral character would be one of the items that the board would take into consideration, and that they shall take it into consideration when making their opinion on whether to grant a liquor license. However, in further reviewing the statute and researching deeper into the subject, it's come to the DA's office attention that actually when you're looking at a liquor license, the 369-190 applies to wineries or breweries, places along that line. However, when you're looking for a general liquor license, what would apply in this scenario would be the county code. And the county code in this circumstance is section 5. So at this time, the person that's done the major research in this area is Bob Morris, and so he will be taking on the presentation as to just procedures that the board would probably legally like to know before making this decision.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Morris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morris for the record. I was just going to point out a few sort of legal areas that provide the groundwork for the board's decision in this matter. Initially, NRS 244-350 is the authorization allowing the Board of County Commissioners to pass or become the liquor board and to pass regulations on the sale of intoxicating liquors in this county. And so the NRS section allows the county to go ahead and adopt ordinances for that purpose. The county has adopted two different sections, Chapter 5.04, and that's for business licenses. There's an additional section, Chapter 5.12, which deals with the sale of alcoholic beverages. Now, there's the basic requirements for any license within the county is contained in Chapter 5.04. There's a hearing on application section 5.04.050, and it talks about the need to have a hearing on any license. Since the alcoholic beverage license has additional requirements, there is an additional section in the code that deals with it. I would just point out a couple of sections. As I said, 5.04050 has a section about the hearing on the application. Generally, for a business license, there's a section 5.04.100, which gives grounds for the refusal of a license. And that basically says that a license may be refused by any licensing agency until the applicant complies or agrees to comply with all the other existing ordinances, laws in force, including the county master plan. And a license may be revoked for failure to comply therewith. And then it goes on specifically to say for a business license, if there's any unpaid taxes, that's a ground for refusing the license. Since this is the license for the sales of alcoholic beverages, I think it's important to look at the requirement for that one. And it's basically in the first section of 5.12010, and it says basically all new applicants for a liquor license authorizing the sale of alcoholic beverages on or off premises shall provide the county liquor license board with the following. And it seems like the primary consideration is proof of financial standing to warrant an expected satisfactory and profitable business operation. And so that's basically to provide the board evidence to show that the applicant has the financial standing to have a profitable business operation. I could probably talk about some more areas, but I think that provides the board with a basic legal framework for their decision today. The business license has a lower standard of what's required for its approval, since there's a specific section about the sale of alcoholic beverages. There's an additional requirement, proof of financial standing. And so what I think is important for the board to look at is if there is evidence to show that or if there's evidence not to show that. And I would encourage the board to ask questions about that. The thing that I think is important in items like this is that the board specifically call out the reasons why they are voting one way or the other on an item such as this. So if there are particular reasons that you feel like you're voting, convinces you to vote in a certain way, I think that it would be good to put those on the record. I do have a little bit more, but I think the sheriff can go now. Generally, under the code sections, the sheriff is to do an investigation into the background of some of the other sections is that complete background as to the applicant's criminal record and experience in saloon or liquor vending businesses. He is the one that's to report to the board on this matter, on that part of it. So I'll turn it over to the sheriff at this point.
In this case, the applicant did make application to the county for the liquor license. We did conduct an investigation as outlined in the ordinance, finding nothing of a criminal nature that would preclude him from having a license. During the course of the investigation, there was showing of significant finances and financial background knowledge to where there would be no reason for him to expect, or no reason to expect that the business would fail. I think the reason we're here and doing this with such bravado or gusto, whatever you want to call it, is because of what happened recently with this particular applicant with gaming. Gaming has a significantly higher standard than what our county ordinances have, requiring a much larger showing of financial background and knowledge of the industry, things like that. For the purposes of Story County liquor licenses and licenses we have issued in the past, nothing was found in the applicant's background or during the course of the investigation that would preclude him from obtaining a Story County liquor license.
What I would suggest is that since the matter of the Gaming Control Board and its order has been raised as something that the board might want to consider, I do have a copy of that order, and I would provide it to the record. I don't know if the board has had an opportunity to read this. There is one section that I think the board might want to consider, and it's on page 4. If I could just read a paragraph. It says, Virginia City Gaming, Malfitano, and Delta failed to carry their burdens to demonstrate adequate business competence for the licensing applications. This is demonstrated through the non-disclosure of business-related issues to the board, significant disclosed and non-disclosed litigation, significant employment-related issues from Malfitano's assisted living and his prior dental practice, significant citations and actions by other regulatory agencies, including or concerning Malfitano's assisted living business and prior dental practice, the existence of numerous prior tax liens, and the appearance of significant cash flow problems. And I think the only reason you would use that is to consider the financial standing of the applicant and whether that would assist you in deciding whether you could expect a satisfactory and profitable business operation.
I would offer up at this point in response to Mr. Morris's comments is, again, gaming has an extremely high standard. Several of the state agencies have standards that far exceed what we have ever given consideration to in Story County in the past. I know one regulatory agency, they require you have $20,000 cash sitting in the bank at your disposal for your business. I don't know specifically what gaming requires. However, in the course of our investigation, Mr. Malfitano has significant personal holdings. According to the financial documentation he provided to us, he does have liquid resources along with real property holdings. And the CPA that we discussed, who's familiar with Mr. Malfitano's finances, said that he doesn't see any reason why he would not be successful in this endeavor. And if we're going to truly consider what gaming offers on his financial status, then we should look at what gaming requires as the level of proof of financial stability. Because I'm sure, Commissioner McBride, I'm sure that with your knowledge of the gaming industry, they have quite a significant level of proof that's needed. And if we're going to hold this applicant to that standard that gaming requires for a gaming license, does that mean now we're going to have to go back and reconsider all our other liquor applicants who may have a difficult time reaching that same threshold?
And just to follow up on the sheriff's comments, I would remind the board that it's not the gaming requirements that the applicant has to meet. Today, what you're deciding is basically this one sentence, proof of financial standing to warrant an expected satisfactory and profitable business operation. So I think what you're looking at is that specific standard or requirement.
I'll throw out, I believe the county manager included to you all the investigative reports. While I did not include the personal financial matters because of some protected information in there, the bottom line estimated value of Mr. Malfitano's holdings are in excess of $5 million. Is what is listed.
I think we could ask the applicant.
I don't see the applicant in the audience.
The applicant's agent is here.
Bruce, are you representing Mr. Malfitano today?
No, I'm not representing him, but I'm a citizen and I want to comment when appropriate.
Okay, very good. Tina, are you here to represent Mr. Malfitano today?
Yeah. Well, we can do that at the end of the public hearing.
Okay.
And I'm surprised he's not here.
Yeah.
His general manager, she's prepared to give testimony.
Okay. Yes, I think you sort of have staff's view of the matter, and I think it's appropriate for the applicant or anybody that wants to speak to go ahead and give public testimony. My understanding is the chair might have some testimony as well. After that, if there's any other questions, I think we could answer them and allow the board to go ahead.
Okay. If you'd like to come up to the podium, and if you'll, for the record, go ahead and identify yourself once you get to the microphone, so the clerk will the recording.
Tina Perkins. I am the current general manager at the Bonanza and the Delta for Dr. Malfitano. We have been working tirelessly getting these properties prepared, and we had health inspections yesterday, which went very well. We were approved for the Bonanza restaurant and the bar, and four of the bars in the Delta were approved. We are not doing the restaurant there yet. It has a lot of work to do. So, we have retained at least 15 of the prior employees, five of them which came from the Sawdust restaurant. We really are trying to keep everybody employed, and everybody that has asked to stay has stayed. So.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Ms. Perkins? Not yet. We might ask you to come back. Okay. Thank you. Bruce, did you want to give testimony?
Bruce Kittis, resident of Carson City, friend of Dr. Mappitano for 20 years. If I had to describe the Gaming Board Commission process in one word, I'd say tilt. I doubt any of you could pass the Gaming Commission if they decided we don't want them. I mean, I watched that whole process. You can be accused and you don't get the documents. Anyway, I've seen how they twisted all that. But that's not the point. This is Virginia City. This is the Old West. Commissioner Gilman, you represent the best of entrepreneurship. I mean, this young man, I'll be 81 tomorrow, so I can call him a young man. This young man has made his money the old-fashioned way. He paid the seller, Mr. Petrini, $4 million. I'm sorry if Mr. Petrini regrets selling it. He could have very easily, in the contract, they spent a year negotiating. He could have easily have said, if you don't get your gaming license, I get first option to buy it back. He didn't. Yes, we're sorry to see the machines leave the Delta, but they may come back. So, you know, this whole process, to me, having been born in 34 and gone through the Depression and the war, I mean, it's discouraging. All we hear is government, government, government. And this young man is an entrepreneur and he deserves a chance to run a business. And if he doesn't make it, he'll go bankrupt or he'll sell it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to give public testimony? Mr. Gallagher?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I normally don't comment on these things, but I have a couple of things that I want to remind the Commission about, or at least advise them on. Number one is first and best use going forward. That was a gaming establishment originally continued, and the process was it was going to be continued as such. It is no longer going to be that case. Profitability at that point in time becomes somewhat salted down. Don't know that. Understanding the fact that the Gaming Control Board decided not to license the applicant is a big concern going forward as to the profitability of those two locations. The other side is that there has been a number thrown out as to the net worth of the applicant, which is somewhere around $5 million. I'm not sure if that's an audited statement or just an application, but if that's the case, then that also should be probably examined to see if that is not true. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Anyone else like to make public testimony? All right. Mr. Morris, following up, I will disclose that I, after reading that the applicant was denied by the Nevada Gaming Control Board, decided to attend the next meeting, which was before the Nevada Gaming Commission, which was 2 weeks later. And I sat in a room with several people, some that are in this room today. And it was 3 hours of testimony. And
And as Mr. Morris pointed out, that you have to have a strong financial standing in order to be licensed. And that's not only by the liquor regulations, but by gaming. And gaming pointed out in a whole host of different things of the lawsuits, foreclosures, delinquent tax payments, tax liens, default notices, all of these items. It was very discomforting sitting there and listening to this testimony. The vote against the applicant for the Gaming Control Board was 3-0 for denial. And with the Gaming Commission, the vote was 5-0 for denial. We're talking about financial stability and a net worth of approximately $5 million. That dwarfs in what Commissioner Townsend on the Gaming Commission stated, that the debt that Mr. Mofentano has is $12 million. So there gives pause to that also. Bruce suggested that Mr. Mofentano paid $4 million for the properties. It's probably true, but it's no secret that there are large sums of debt that are attached to this purchase in the amount of $2.5 million. So if you look at his financials, and he's upside down by $7 million, and he has outstanding debt of $2.5 million, by removing gaming from the properties and reducing the probably the cash flow by 60-70%, doesn't make it a sustainable business. And as the sheriff pointed out earlier, I do have a little bit of knowledge when it comes to gaming. My family's been in the gaming business since the prohibition on gaming was lifted in 1931. So with that said, this is a pretty uphill climb to ask to be licensed when it doesn't look like there's any financial stability in order to operate these two businesses.
I would like to just throw out something for consideration. I'm not not a legal beagle or anything, but what kind of precedent are we setting with this, saying we just licensed an entity without going through this discussion on finances? Now, we assume that the school board has sufficient money to keep that license going and run a sustainable business, different type of business. But when we're going to start looking, I know Mr. Morris says we're not holding him to a gaming standard, but in essence we are, because everything that we're talking about is what gaming says, what gaming says, what gaming says. And if gaming's going to say he has lawsuits and tax liens and judgments, again, do we go back and look at our existing license holders? Because we have existing license holders that have suffered some of those same issues. Maybe not for the same reasons, maybe for the same reasons. I'm not judging the applicant's business model. From a personal perspective, I think, like Mr. Gallagher pointed out, I think trying to run it just as a bar, that the business is probably going to fail because I just don't see enough business supporting it. However, that's not my business to run or my decision to make. But are we going to hold this applicant to a different standard than what we have at least for the last 5 years that I'm aware of, and a different standard to what we just held the last approval to?
Well, I don't know if we're holding to a different standard. It's just under liquor license provisions out in Chapter 5.12. An applicant is required to provide the County Liquor License Board with proof of financial standing to warrant an expected satisfactory profitable business operation. With everything that's been laid out, can you operate a profitable operation when you've just taken out the major source of revenue?
I don't know what the breakdown of revenues were. I don't know what his entire business plan is for the operation of the buildings. All I'm looking at is the consistent application of the ordinances and the issuance of the liquor licenses, and I'm just wondering if we're treading on dangerous waters because it seems to me like a different standard.
I'd like the other commissioners to weigh in on this.
I'm very, very troubled in trying to weigh this evidence between two. The elephant in the room is the gaming board review and analysis, and I have reviewed that, and I'm going to assume that they had investigative staff that was very qualified, and they looked carefully at this individual beyond perhaps what we would do for a license. But I can't ignore the facts that were explained in that particular program, and if you follow what they found and the reason they denied that gaming license, I don't see how as a body that we can support a license for a liquor license based upon our statutes. It doesn't add up to me. I understand the sheriff has done his investigation, but I have an investigation over here that was done by the gaming board in depth, and I don't understand why we're apart, candidly, because the gaming board's license investigation was clear, and the violations are clear, and the standard wasn't reached either for the gaming license or, in my opinion, for a liquor license. So I'm very troubled by that.
Commissioner McGuffey?
Yeah, well, I kind of find it a tough pill to compare it with the school board getting a liquor license. They're not relying on that liquor license to make lots of money. It's a perk to get more business and receptions and meetings of that sort up there. Yeah, they do make some money. That's great. That's they're trying to help support that old building. It costs a lot of money to restore old buildings. Are we going to rely on what the gaming board says? No, but it sure gives you the information in here sure gives you an idea of what kind of person he is. When they're saying that. You know, on page 4 here, other regulatory agencies concerning this applicant's assisted living business and prior dental practice, the existence of numerous prior tax liens, appearance of significant cash flow problems, and for the landlord, he wasn't even qualified to be a landlord, so there's no, he can't use somebody else's license. He's, they put the hammer down on him, but it kind of shows you what kind of person he's been. Has he changed? I don't know. I don't know the man. So I have a hard time. I mean, you're looking at somebody who lacks probity. It's not showing the integrity here to run a business. And that's the way the gaming board sees it. And with knowing that information that they put out there as a public record is like, I would have to question that.
And again, the gaming board is holding that position on the basis of their requirements to hold a gaming license. We have license holders in Story County who have had lawsuits. We have license holders in Story County who have had judgments. We have license holders in Story County who have had tax liens. Again, do we go back and review all of their license now because we're going to hold them to a different standard? I could care less about Mr. Malfitano's business. I could care less about gaming because we're not talking about a gaming license. We're talking about a Story County liquor license. What I care about is that we are applying things equally and fairly across the board to all our license holders and all past, present, and future applicants.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay.
I'd
like to extend the quote into the record that Bob Morris started from page 4 of the gaming order. Commissioner McGuffey just touched on it. It continues on beyond where it says, and the appearance of significant cash flow problems, which is where Council Morris stopped. It says, for the landlord applications, this is demonstrated by significant issues concerning foreclosures, delinquent tax payments, tax liens, and default notices concerning the real property of Malfitano or business owned by Malfitano, which indicate Malfitano is not suitable to be the landlord of a gaming establishment.
those were the basis for the gaming. I would tell you that those last ones that I've just read, the foreclosures, the delinquent tax payments, the tax liens, those are serious contraindicators of financial standing. I issued these licenses for 6 years as sheriff. I have sat in this seat for the subsequent 10 years or so, and I applied similar standards under what are known in the industry, in the banking industry, as the 5 C's of credit, where you're looking at character and capacity as two of those major C's in order to extend things like lines of credit, which I did, secured and unsecured. And I would tell you that once you become knowledgeable, once I became knowledgeable of this level of concern from gaming, seeing the gaming's order, in my opinion, you can't deny it. Are we holding every other liquor license to the same standard? I would argue that if we knew this type of information about them, yes, we should, but we don't. In this case, we know because of the gaming order, we know because of the testimony you reflected that you heard at the Gaming Commission hearing, and I think once you're knowledgeable of this, it really are serious indicators of lack of financial strength and ability to conduct a business. So staff's recommendation would be to deny both liquor licenses based on those findings.
Okay. I'm prepared to take more public testimony. Bruce, you wanted to come back up?
Earlier, you approved your September 1st minutes. In the minutes on item 13, it says, if Dr. Moffitano were to sever relations with Doing Gaming to operate the businesses himself, there would be no delay in obtaining the licenses. There is no reason not to license Dr. Moffitano, except for the fact that it would be a duplicate license. So that was a month ago. You heard all about gaming. You were also there, Commissioner, that his attorney, who had served on the gaming board, argued that the standard for the gaming was different than the standard for being a landlord. So you heard that. But it didn't matter because it was already set. Anyway, that's it. So what you say here on September 1st is meaningless. That's what your word is. That's the story in Story County. Your word doesn't count. You're a pathetic lot, and do whatever you want.
I'll respond to your comment, and you are correct. That is what was said in the meeting here.
Yeah.
And I misspoke that day. What I should have said, and I'll say it right now to correct the record, I should have said that you can come back for consideration to have your license approved. I admit I did misspeak. You're absolutely correct. But as your friend's lawyer, as he testified before the Gaming Commission, lost his argument.
Yes.
All across. And here he was. He is an expert because he's an expert in gaming law, since he was on the gaming board, and so he went amongst his peers and lost, which rarely happens. And it rarely happens that a person goes through the application process all the way to denial. And I know this as a matter of fact because myself and my brother had to go through the same scrutiny that your friend did in order for us to receive our gaming licenses. It's arduous. You know, they undress you all the way. And when stuff like that comes out, that's just the way it is. So most of the items over there were items that were undisclosed, numerous lawsuits. I think there was an excess of 40 lawsuits. Numerous lawsuits were undisclosed, sexual harassment settlements, all of these things that were undisclosed. So I'm not talking out of school here. The facts are the facts.
He had an option to go ahead and withdraw his application, never did it, took it to the mat, and he got beat. So that's the way it is with gaming. We're sitting here reading this five-page letter of denial, or six pages. You've read it, too. This is public record. I'm not hiding anything from anybody. This is public record. So, Bruce, I know he's your friend. I know he's your friend. But I have to look out for what's good for Story County, this community of Virginia City, the taxpayers, and the well-being of the people who work and live in this community. This has been the most controversial issue that's come up in my almost 3 years sitting on this commission. I've gotten more phone calls and more walk-ups to me at the post office, people that are so upset and displeased at the decision that now we're going to turn the Delta into a sports bar. We have a history of gaming in there from back in the days of Angela's father, Dominic. Dominic and my grandmother Marie both immigrated from Italy before World War II and had friendly rivalry and competition on C Street all of those years. And this isn't the way it's supposed to turn out. Not at all. He had time. The Gaming Commission awarded Mr. Dewey, the operator, 90-day extension to operate with a denied applicant, giving Mr. Mafentano time where he could find other avenues to either sell his property, sell it to the operator, or do something else. He opted to take this path. And from my chair, it's not a good path. And that's why we have so many people in this room today, because pretty much everybody is displeased except maybe you and Tina. So.
My apologies.
Thank you. Anyway, I'll take any more public testimony. Nicole, I think you had your hand up.
And I do, while Nicole comes up, have one item to clarify. Further in the minutes that Bruce was citing, it does indicate County Manager Witten stated that Sherita Fantanaro had asked me to explain the licenses will be considered for approval. So we did correct your misstatement at the time to indicate they'd be considered, they would not be approved. And no. Just reflect what was said and what was corrected.
You can just read the highlighted parts of the minutes. It's just most entertaining.
Well, the decision was made on what we knew at the time. And of course, we now have more information on the table, and it's important that we make the proper decision. I'm still so perplexed on why the two reports and investigations are so different. I don't understand that.
Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I understand the concerns here, but before you go up the slippery slope of trying to apply a higher standard as demanded by gaming to our own local standard, let's go back to our own local standard. Did he disclose, do we ask on our liquor license, our liquor application, our business license, for disclosure of the issues that came up at the Gaming Commission? Do we ask people, do we ask them to tell us if they, you know, most employment applications ask if you've ever been convicted of a felony, you know, so on and so forth. Do our applications ask for disclosure of this information?
Some, yes. Some of the financial stuff, yes. Some of it, no. All the criminal stuff is asked for disclosure. Things like that. There was no.
Did he?
There were no omissions by Mr. Mafentano on what we inquired of.
So, because if there's something wrong with our process that allows this, the level and magnitude of issue, to pass by our investigation, if that's what's happening, we need to plug that hole at home. If, on the other hand, on our application it asks for this information and he failed to disclose it, then it sounds to me that we can deny it based on our own local requirement that it get disclosed. Because I'm concerned, and certainly we've got two legal people here, that if we take a step outside our own local realm and regulations and now start to use that higher standard of the Gaming Commission, it may have implications and set precedents for us locally we may not like. I'm just saying, if the violation is on our regulations, our applications, our ordinances, that's clean for us to say a denial. If we're stepping outside of that, that may cause some problems. Just asking that question. I'm not advocating for or against it. I'm just saying it leaves you open.
Thank you, Ms. Barge. Anyone else like to give public testimony? Yes. Ms. Cohen.
Judy Cohen, C Street business owner and Story County resident. Although I don't have a liquor license, my business is just a general business license. I think that, number one, nobody on C Street likes to see what's happening because I'm there every day. But I think if there is a discrepancy, I think that perhaps as there have been overhauls and other the statutes and whatnot, perhaps Story County needs to be really looked at if there are people like Sheriff Antinoto said that have some of the same problems. Maybe the whole statute needs to be, or the law, or whatever it's called, needs to be looked at. But I, as a business owner, I don't like to see all this happening. I don't have a vote. I don't have a voice. I just have an opinion. But that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Chairman, before the vote, I'd just like to go over a few rules. As I talked about earlier, one of the first issues that have kind of been wafting around was under NRS 369.190, moral character. And I think a lot of the issues that have come up before the vote is to look at the licensing procedure having to do with the ordinances of Story County to get a liquor license, a local liquor license. That comes down to proof of financial standing to warrant an expected satisfactory and profitable business operation. That's it. None of this moral character doesn't apply. Financial well-being under the local ordinance, that is what you're looking at, and that is what I would direct you to as counsel for Story County District Attorney.
Thank you, D.A. Langer. Anyone else? Okay. Staff's recommendation?
Staff's recommendation is to deny both liquor licenses for the grounds that have been explained to you and that you have explained on the record your concerns. Deny both licenses for the Bonanza and the Delta liquor.
Okay. That being said, looking for a motion.
And what exactly grounds? Do you want to specify those grounds again?
I believe each of you stated, you know, fairly clearly into the record that you believe that there are reasons to be concerned over the financial standing and ability to conduct the business.
Might we want to make a decision later and kind of verify those standings, or do you need to?
Depending on what your motion is, if you choose to approve or deny the license, please make it specific as to your reasoning behind approving it or denying it. In your motion, that gives everybody an opportunity to agree with the specific reasons for denying or approving the license.
In calling for a motion for denial on this license, I think financial standing probably is a good measure to go by.
I would move to deny the licenses for the liquor for both the Bonanza and the Delta based upon the probability of financial instability to operate successfully
here in Virginia City.
I have a motion.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. Call it individually for members of the liquor board to vote. Sheriff Anthony Norman?
Nay.
Sheriff votes nay.
Aye.
And aye. The record shows three commissioners aye, the sheriff nay. So liquor license is denied. Can we get through the general license? Okay. And now we're going to move on to 14B. This will be licensing for the general license for the Delta and the Bonanza.
I didn't mean that on this one. Is that me?
If I could just address the board again briefly. If there's consideration of refusal of a license, Section 5.04.100 has the specific grounds that you can use for refusal, and that is basically a license may be refused by any licensing agency until the applicant complies or agrees to comply with all other existing ordinances and law enforcement or law in force, including the county master plan and license, may be revoked for failure to comply therewith. And so the requirement is a general requirement that the applicant abide by existing ordinances and laws. And so the refusal would be based on them, the applicant, not complying with existing ordinances and laws. There's also a section about, the following section is about any unpaid real property taxes, and my understanding is that has not been brought up. So the business license has a different requirement for approval and denial than the liquor one.
So as that pertains right now, it would be staff's position, subject to further input from legal counsel, that as far as the Delta is concerned, to the best of my knowledge, they are current on inspection requirements for both building and fire, and would be eligible to meet that burden and standard. However, the Bonanza is not. There are still some fire code issues being worked on as we speak. So staff's recommendation is to go ahead, I guess, and recommend approval for the Delta and continuation of the Bonanza, therefore revoking any temporary licenses granted earlier, and allow them to operate without liquor or gaming. So the Bonanza would not be allowed to operate.
In the past, have we granted them to operate their business in, while they're making their, let's say, fire sprinkler improvements or anything like that?
That is correct.
We have?
Yes.
Yeah, so we might may entertain that possibility.
I'd like to speak, Chief, to compliance with that or status of that. I'm not sure.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Gary Hames for the record, Story County Fire Protection District Fire Chief. We've been working with them for the last probably 9 months, and I apologize not having exact dates. Generally accepted practices for our district is 6 months. We've gone over by 3 months. I think it's a point in time where that building's not safe. That building was disclosed, from my understanding, at escrow that it had to be fire sprinkled. It's going into almost a year now. I don't think it's a safe building. I would recommend that you do not issue a general business license for that facility.
You have any questions on this?
I don't.
Okay. Bruce, come on up.
Bruce Kittis, Carson City. Would you ask the chief if there is an agreement, a written agreement, that says the sprinklers will be in by December 31st, and that was negotiated in the county manager's office? Is there an agreement that says December 31st, or isn't there? There is.
Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, there is not. There's an agreement in place that states that it ties back to the gaming license approval. The gaming license approval was not successful. In my opinion, that agreement is null and void because it was tied to the gaming license. That process was not fulfilled.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Any other public comment on this? Any other questions from the board?
Staff's recommendation is to approve the Delta business license and to deny the Bonanza business license.
That is correct. That is correct.
So, staff's recommendation is to deny the Bonanza's general business license and to approve the Delta's general business license.
So moved. I would move to deny the Bonanza business license and approve the Delta general business license.
I'll second that.
And the denial would could be lifted upon the time that the sprinkler systems are completed within the Bonanza?
If you're going to do that, they'd have to reapply.
Okay.
Reapply.
All right. Motion on the floor is to not deny the Bonanza business license and to approve the Delta's general business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That makes it unanimous. All right. We're going to go ahead and take about 10 minutes. We're going to go into recess. Come on up, Bruce.